Hello everyone, this is Eliza D and you're listening to the podcast How to Save the Planet. On how to save the planet, and a few people whose professions and passions have to do with climate change. Today I have someone named Edward Morris on the show, and here's a bit about Edward. Edward Morris is a set and production designer for live performance, an illustrator, and sustainability advocate. Edward is a member of the United Scenic Artists Local 829 and Wingspace Theatrical Design. He is a graduate of the University of Michigan and Yale School of Drama and is taught at the New School and Connecticut College. Edward is passionate about conserving our environment and co-authored the Sustainable Production Toolkit. And now, please enjoy my interview with Edward Morris.
Hello and welcome, Edward, to How to Save the Planet.
Hello, good to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for being here. So what do you do and where do you work?
Yeah, so I am a set and projection designer for theater companies across the country, based in New York City. And the reason I'm talking to you is I'm the co-author of the Sustainable Production Toolkit, which is a website that has I believe it's 100-page free resource document for performing arts organizations who want to learn how to operate more sustainably. And I also consult in that space at universities and small theater companies.
Cool. What degrees do you have and where did you go to school?
I went to University of Michigan for my undergraduate, and I have a Bachelor's of Fine Arts in Theater Design and Production. And I have a Master of Fine Arts from Yale School of Drama, also in set design.
Cool. How did you get the position that you're now career-wise? Like, how did you become a green set designer?
Excuse me. So I have been set design in particular is the only thing that I've ever done. When I graduated high school, I built sets for Broadway shows in a big shop and worked as a welder. And then I went to college and then graduate school studying design. And about 6 or 7 years ago, I started to incorporate sustainability into my practice. Theater is a very wasteful art form. The typical schedule is something is designed, it's built over 4 to 6 weeks, it runs, is on a stage for 4 to 6 weeks, and then it goes into a dumpster. Very rarely is it stored and then used again. There are only a couple of companies that really store sets and then reuse them. So it was a very wasteful art form. Of course, we all know that there's a climate crisis. And while the impact of the theater industry itself is relatively small, it is the field in which, you know, I had my calling, my career. And so I have been working to make it more sustainable. I was inspired by two other designers, one named Danielle Wuerl and the other named Sandra Goldmark, who have sort of led the way in sustainable design for the theater. And I attended some workshops with them, and then I taught some workshops with Danielle and guest lectured at Barnard where Sandra teaches. And I started to incorporate sustainable practices in my studio practice. So that is like the making of the models and the design itself, the preconception of the design, and then also on stage. I am not a fully green designer. My work definitely has a footprint. We definitely throw things out, unfortunately. But I have, for about 5 or 6 years, I've had at least one production every year that was entirely sustainable, entirely made out of repurposed, recycled items. And I've incorporated many sustainable practices into hopefully most every other production. Your original question was how I got there. Did I sort of answer that for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. Do you think that like environmentally focused set design and just like theater in general, like that will like become more common in the future?
I'm sorry, that what will become more common?
That like environmentally focused set design.
I think 100%. With every, I mean, it's unfortunate that it has to come out of large sort of climate events, but every time there is one, more people who have been reluctant to recognize the fact that the climate is changing are made to recognize it. And I think it is incumbent upon the arts to be a leader in this and to show people how to have a quality product, but also do it while being responsible towards the environment. So it's right now, we are in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, and there is not a lot of live theater being produced, but I am positive that when there is more, there will be more sustainable design for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What got you interested in this work that you do? I heard that like you kind of like have always been in set design and theater, but why did you do that?
Yeah, I blame Legos probably. I loved building small worlds as many people do when they're kids. And I was taught to read music from an early age, which meant that I was automatically thrust on stage as the lead in all the high school musicals. And despite the fact that I have no acting talent. And so I love the people who work in the theater and the arts. I love the creativity. And it was a very happy day when I showed up one day to help out with the crew. And I realized that my love of Legos and environments and the performing arts were sort of married in set design. I also love it because you can never learn everything, because you're dealing with all of the materials on the planet. You're dealing with all of the sort of art forms on the planet. It's a combination of fine art and sculpture and performance. And that's how I fell into that. How I fell into the sustainability work was both general, you know, when I was in college, the Hurricane Katrina happened, which flooded a lot of low-lying areas in Louisiana, and definitely highlighted the disproportionate impacts of climate change on different, you know, lower-income communities versus higher-income communities. So I see it as like a social justice cause. I also worked with a wonderful Native American playwright named Larissa Fasthorse, and she wrote a play called Vanishing Point, again, about indigenous communities in Louisiana that are disappearing, both because of gradual sea level rise, but also because of the oil and gas industry in Louisiana cut canals through areas which allow salt water to get in and erode, basically kill off the freshwater plants that are holding the land together. So we have both shrinking land because of devegetation, as well as gradual sea level rise. So that particular play called Vanishing Point that I worked on with her was my own sort of, that was like 5 or 6 years ago, was my own sort of rallying cry that I need to, you know, not just give money to environmental organizations and show it to protests, but that I need to incorporate it into my own work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why did you take part in making these sustainable production toolkit?
Yeah, I was working with a costume designer named Lauren Gaston on a project that was canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And we bumped into each other virtually in a Zoom room that was run by the Broadway Green Alliance, which is a wonderful, wonderful organization I hope you link to in your show notes, BGA. And they, she and I just scheduled a meeting to just talk and rap about what we have been doing about sustainability and different events we'd attended. And we realized that there was not one spot to go to that listed, that went sort of department by department, not just looking at, you know, I had to look primarily at set design because I'm a set designer. She had primarily looked at costume design because she's a costume designer. We realized that there was no one spot that people could sort of pick and choose what their particular field was and sort of search in there for sustainability tips. And so I had to I spoke with her and with, we brought in Sandra Goldmark, again, who I mentioned earlier, who teaches at Barnard College, and her husband, Michael Banta, who is the production manager at Barnard College, also a sustainability advocate. And he also is a IATSE Local 1 stagehand, which means that he also has access to what the union is doing towards sustainability. And so that's how we all got together, and we started meeting once a week, and we started to putting together a website, gather resources, and then we made one document so it can be viewed online or it can be downloaded. There are different chapters. So like I said, if you are actually like even a development professional, meaning fundraising, or you're in company management dealing with travel and housing for artists, there are even a couple page sections on that. And it's sort of a one-stop shop for anyone sort of from the artistic director, that's the person who leads the organization, or the executive director, down to the costumes shop stitcher and the freelance electrician working for the theater. We made this resource so that they could all download one document, look for themselves, their job title on the table of contents, and find relevant information for them. And if we didn't have it, then hopefully provide links where they could look for it elsewhere.
That sounds like incredibly needed in your field. That's so amazing that you all took that on you and made a resource that people could use for that stuff. What does climate justice mean to you and set design and theater?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I guess I sort of jumped the gun and answered a little bit of that earlier. So, I mean, climate justice means doing right by people who have been disproportionately affected by climate change. As I said, in Louisiana, which was like my own, because I worked on a play specific to that geographical region I focused on. But the idea is that many BIPOC communities are in coastal low-lying areas that are flooded more often than wealthier neighborhoods on higher ground. This is a form of racial injustice that is just one form of the many forms of racial injustice in this country, but it is something that can be addressed when we try to address climate change. So I guess that's what climate justice means to me.
What do you think makes theater a powerful tool for like connecting with people?
Yeah, I think it in two ways. The first is that, you know, theater is an opportunity for an audience to have an exercise in empathy. When you watch the theater, often you're putting yourself in other people's shoes. So when good theater connects with an audience, it helps us look at the world through someone else's eyes. It's an opportunity to change people's hearts and minds. This may seem dramatic, but I have personally seen it happen. And it's happened for me. I worked on a production of The Laramie Project. It was a piece of documentary theater about the 1998 murder of a University of Wyoming student named Matthew Shepard. And when I worked on this production, I sat in the audience, or I'd come into the audience, I'd step into the back at the end of the show, and I'd listen to the audience reactions. And I personally heard people who had not, whose eyes had been open to like a different perspective than they had when walking in. And I personally heard it. And so I think that is the power of the performing arts. And that's why I'm so passionate about it. I think that relates to climate change, both in terms of there are people who are working on art that specifically talks about climate change and the solutions to it, but also I am more sort of on the institutional side. So there are lots of parts of the country where arts organizations are actually considered leaders, both in the nonprofit and the for-profit world. When a lot of people think about New York City, a lot of people think about the Metropolitan Opera, perhaps, and they definitely think about Broadway. When Broadway makes a commitment, like they did a couple of years ago, to switching to all LED light bulbs, it gets noticed, it gets written about in the major newspapers. When people think of Minneapolis-St. Paul, a lot of people think of the Guthrie Theater, which is a very large theater complex and employs hundreds of people in Minneapolis-St. Paul. And when they make a commitment and they put it in all their programs, it has an impact. Similarly, Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon is one of the biggest businesses in that town. People will fly or drive in or get bused in and come in for a weekend and see four different shows. They'll read those programs. If those programs have a commitment and actual things that that company is doing towards sustainability, they'll take those programs back to their communities and have an impact in that way. When arts organizations that are seen as leaders in the areas make a commitment, they put on their website. I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself, but you get the picture of why I think arts organizations
good information.
Are important for them to make these commitments.
Yeah, definitely. What advice would you give to folks going into the set design field?
It is important to know that it is a very difficult way to make a living, so I always have to have that disclaimer. As I did say earlier, though, what I love about it is that it is always different. Even when I'm designing the same play, if I'm in different theaters or with different collaborators, it is always different, which I do love. Along those lines about it always being different, a great piece of advice is to be the best listener in every room. So to just always be absorbing information from your colleagues and from the environment, the built environment around you, the playwright's intentions, to just work on being an active listener and to always just get along with everyone. It is a very, very small niche industry and you never know who's going to be in an opportunity to be offering you a job several years down the road. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Also, that there are many, many careers in the performing arts other than acting or being a designer, being one of the creatives. There are fabulous technicians, managers, promoters. I have lots of people who I went to undergrad with who studied acting, who have become prominent entertainment lawyers, bookkeepers, audience services professionals. So there are ways to work in the arts without being sort of on the stage underneath the lights. And those roles all have a big impact. They also have a lot more stability and often sadly better benefits and security in that way. So there are lots of options other than just being an actor, which I think is what a lot of people are most initially attracted to. I started off in acting and I'm very glad that I discovered something else because being a designer is difficult, but being an actor is even more difficult. I will say just one more thing, which is that I think that one of the great things about the performing arts, what we often talk about in creating a piece of theater or a piece of art is creativity through constraints. And the number one constraint is usually budget. But I like to look at the climate crisis as like the number one largest opportunity for creative collaboration and problem solving. The stakes are the highest, but also the rewards are then the highest. And so to look at creativity through that big constraint and to see what amazing options, art, and solutions we can all come up with.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on to How to Save the Planet. I really appreciate it.
Sure thing. It was nice to talk with you.
Thank you.
Well, that is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss any new episodes. Thanks again. Bye.